What's going on, my friends? It's Dave Sharp. Welcome to Wake Up Legendary. And as usual, we have an amazing guest. But unlike what we do most days, which most days we interview one of our own students, and we have over almost 700 real live nearly hour-long conversations with actual students who have gone through our material. Isn't that crazy? I know it is. It's kind of a rhetorical question. very rarely does anyone have that many, if ever, as a matter of fact, that many actual real life, organic and authentic conversations with their actual students. But today we have an expert guest who's been running the business models that we teach, the Core Four courses, coaching and events, and of course doing affiliate marketing in the parenting niche. And as you can see, he's attracted, from the headline anyways, he's attracted a good old following doing it, a big old following. Sean, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks, Dave. How's it going? Hey, it's good to be here. Good morning. It's 7 o'clock here on the West Coast. So coming at you here from outside of Sacramento, California. Really happy to be here. Thank you.
Nice, man. Nice. Outside of Sacramento. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, that's the other Florida. You know, that's the other Florida of the United States over there in Cali.
Hey, people like to bash on California, and especially if you live in California, you can bash on. There's a lot to bash about. But yeah, I mean, born and raised here, lived all the way from, you know, San Diego. That's where I grew up in, and lived in the Bay Area, lived in LA, Santa Barbara. Now I'm here in Northern California for the last 15 years. And oh, I love this state. Love it. It's the best.
Yeah. Really, yeah. Fun. And yeah. And I've got a lot of curiosity this morning about, you know, how you got into the parenting niche, because I try to think sometimes, what if I never would have got into the online marketing, online business niche? Where would I have gone? I was just entering into this world, this internet marketing world, this online world in 2023, what would I do? Where would I focus my attention? I don't know if I had a completely blank slate. I'm passionate about being a dad. I've got three kids. I'm right in the middle of a 6-year-old and a 2-year-old at home right now.
All right. Yeah.
Got an older one, 22 as well.
Okay. All right.
And so, you know, my wife and I, we love parenting. We've crawled ourselves out of a lot of, a lot of kind of trauma and drama from our younger lives to hopefully give our kids a different experience.
Yeah,
what
man.
Brought you into the parenting niche?
Yeah, well, no, thanks. I want to hear more about your story. I started to tell your story. I just want to start hearing more for you. So how about this? I'll tell you a little bit. I'll answer my question. And if you want, you can tell me a little bit more about that. Like, cause you say that's pretty powerful for you to say, you know, someone who's really thriving in your niche, which is great, your marketing niche. But yeah, tell me more about what you're thinking. Like, yeah, if you wouldn't have gone into this, what would you have gone into? Then you didn't tell us, right? I want to hear.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, I might have gone into the parenting niche. I'm also a recovering addict over a decade. And so there's so many different things. And what the goal with you today is, you know, folks have heard my story and they're really clear about at least a couple of different options that they have in online marketing. A lot of them have a difficult time seeing themselves do things in other niches, you know, like, wow, who would listen to me? How could I get into that niche? Am I an expert in that niche? Do I need qualifications? Do I need certifications? Can my experience just as a parent, I've got that, and I'm passionate about being a dad, does that qualify me to go into that niche?
Yeah.
And so I don't know what I would do in 2023, but I like the parenting niche. So tell our audience what brought you into that niche. You got started online.
Yeah. Thanks for asking, man. Yeah. My short version of my story is that I started working with children while I was still a child, in a sense. I started working in like an after school program when I was at UC Santa Barbara. And at that time I was doing stand-up comedy, and I just for fun, as a hobby, as a 20-year-old college kid, I even set a goal. My goal was like, I'm going to get into the comedy store, which is 21 and up, before I'm 21. And then I was performing, and then I got an invite to like this invite only. And I was like, oh, this is great. Of course I went and I totally sucked and I bombed it because I had college humor and these were all like seasoned adults and they thought I sucked. I even got the red light. That was embarrassing. But at that time, I was like, I was working in after school program. Then one of my friends was like, hey, I'm doing this like mentoring thing with teenagers. I think you'd be great. The kids would really love you. And I was like, wow, okay. I had a great experience with a mentor when I was in high school in San Diego. So then it my passion for just working around kids and teenagers was there, and it was very strong. Mm. And then when I was about 26, still working with kids in nonprofits, church kind of Christian ministry settings, camp counseling settings, sleepaway camp, I had my first, Daniel and I had our first of three daughters, Maddie. And at that time, there was a popular TV show on called The Super Nanny. So I'm 44. So if you're around my age, you definitely remember the show. She's Joe Frost, The Super Nanny, is still on the air. Her newest show, I believe, is called Nanny 9/11. I don't really watch it. But do you remember that show, man?
I thought you were talking about Fran Drescher. No, I'm not. I don't know that I know that one.
Well, that was a comedy. So yeah, it was one of the first reality shows of all time. Extremely popular. I think it was like on ABC. It was just this English lady. She would go into these everyday homes. Homes were just typical American homes. Messiness, a lot of rawness, a lot of disrespect. The kids were just out of control, and the parents were like, I don't know what to do here. So as a young parent with a new baby, you know, watching a lot of TV, and I just saw how this
show
was a reality show on prime time. And then this woman, Jo Frost, would then kind of emotionally connect with the parents and give them some tools.
Yes.
And give them some new creative ideas and help them maybe with some of the emotions in this short little episode to help them see, you know, why their emotions were struggling, to use some of these tools and strategies. She would also connect with the kids to kind of bring like peacemaking into the home. And so I turned to my wife, you know, as a young dad, and I said, wow, this is a really, really creative idea. Like, that's what we need. Like, so much in our society, we separate kids and parents. And now what we do normally in this culture is if we've got a troublesome kid, well, what do? Well, we send them away. We send them to the therapist. They go to the school counselor. They're the ones who get medicated. They're the ones who are supposed to do all the changing. Yeah. And so I was like, well, let's flip that. So yeah, I'm great with kids. So, but I want to learn about parenting. So yeah. Then I spent the next 5 years studying the art of parenting. That's parenting psychology, child psychology, family dynamics. And so then I started, you know, doing that. And so then the last 10 years, my firm has been called Parenting Modern Teens. And just like Super Nanny, man, my team and I have been in it. You walk into someone's house to do interventions with teenagers where there's holes in the wall because of the violence or the screen addiction is so intense. You know, the kids are threatening suicide, or they'll sleep with their screens, or they'll shower with it, or the patterns of violence or meanness or disrespect or abuse are so intense. So yeah. And then short version was that it was all in person, and then COVID in here in California, everything got shut down, and here my wife stays home, you know, and that freaked everybody out. It's like, how am I going to make money here? Cause like, just like a similar to like a local therapist, I do all in person.
Yeah.
Now I already had like a, you know, an Instagram page that had a solid like 3 followers, and nobody was watching my parenting videos on Instagram.
Right.
So, I mean, it was so scary.
Right.
But, hey, had to figure out this thing called Zoom and marketing and take it to a whole new levels. Worked out of my garage for 2 years, freezing in the summer, in the winters, burning up in the summers.
Yeah.
Now here I am, a beautiful home office with these dope records behind me, and I'm on these fancy podcasts. So,
that's really, really powerful, man. And I can see clearly now how you got to where you're at working online. I mean, in our community, we have a lot of people who, you know, many of them, I mean, we have a lot of frontline workers, medical workers and stuff.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, had to work through it. And so whether you're looking to transition your business or your practice or your profession or your expertise and package that and put it into a course or coaching program or an event online, or whether you're looking to make a complete, you know, a lot of people are also just looking to totally get out of their field. You just happen to figure out a way to bring your practice on the internet. And I wonder if at ever there was ever a time to where you thought, I need to totally get out of this field altogether and do something different?
So yeah, this would be something I think
not because you wanted to, but
love that question.
Survival, you know what I mean? And how did
survival? Yes, survival. So I think a lot of your listeners, gosh, I love that question. I would really relate to this, and it's so like I love being on shows like this. It really, because like people ask me questions that nobody else really would ask
me.
Buddies won't ask me.
Totally.
So So my story is that I had a traditional 9-to-5 working with kids. You know, nonprofits, you know, Christian church settings, and they were great. But I was just feeling kind of bored and disenchanted. Like I have an idea for something I want to do, but oh my gosh, Dave, so scary though, right? So scary to break off and do something.
Yeah.
And I was online and I was listening to one of my old friends from San Diego. His name's Doug Brady, and he's a high school football coach. And somebody was asking him about, what do you do with these young athletes about, like, how do you coach them? How do you mentor up their emotions? You know, what if they don't make it in football? And Doug's and like, what should they do with their life? Or what do you do when a kid comes to you and says, hey, what am I going to do with my life? And Doug's response was, well, what would you do for free? So then your question made me think of that, because I was already doing this for free. Like I would help parents for free. I was already doing it for free. I've been doing stuff for free, you know, since I was 20 years old. I'm 44 now. And so, so that is part A of my response. Find, you know, what, as you think about your business, like what would you do for free? What's something that is already fun for you? The second thing that I think of to answer your question, hopefully it's not too long-winded of a response, is some of my buddies, when I was ready to break away from my regular 9-to-5, I was like, well, what am I going to do? Like, well, you could do sales. Sean, you're good at talking. I think that's a good idea. Or you could do managing. You're pretty good. You're great with people. That's good. So then I was looking into that and it just looked so freaking boring to me. I was like, oh my gosh, I got to start at the bottom here. Like I'm 30 years old. I got to start at the very bottom. Like I have a master's degree. Oh my gosh. So then I thought to myself, well, what am I good at? Like, what am I doing? What skill set do I have? What is there unique stuff in my personality, in my skill set that's unique? And then I thought, well, I'm a 6'2" dude who likes parent coaching and I like football. I like hot dogs from Costco. I'm a regular Joe and I'm a man who's talking about parenting and family dynamics. Like, I don't need to look that far. Like, this is not like, I don't need to carve out too much space. I'm already like one of the pioneers of this space. And then I invented this term called family coaching. And I had numerous people ask me, what is that? What is that? So now when I say family coaching, still some people ask me, what is that? But not very many people ask me that anymore. But they did 10 years ago when I started, I was like, I want to be a family coach. What is that? Right. Mm-hmm. So
interesting.
Yeah, a lot came up with that question.
Well, I was thinking about the fears also that people have when you were talking about your initial fear. I was thinking about, you know, there's no right or wrong way for a person to choose their future and what they want to do for themselves in their life. If you want to make an industry change, then nobody can tell you if that's going to be the right thing for you. And I think that's one important thing to really get crystal clear on is that a great mentor can't tell you what to do in your life, right? Yeah. They might ask great questions that get you thinking, but they don't have a crystal ball. They don't know what's best for you. And so if you make the decision that you want to transition and do something new, understanding that it's going to be terrifying and normalizing that is pretty important.
So terrifying. It's still terrifying. I'm actually, just to respond to that and to build on this theme of terrifying, even coming on this show here, it was a little terrifying for me, because I've been like blessed to be on about 50 shows, maybe more. And it's really fun. But most of the shows in the podcast that I'm on, Dave, they're mostly related to like family dynamics, parenting, relationship dynamics. Mm-hmm. And so I've only been on a few that are focusing on business and marketing. So it's kind of scary. I was like, what is he going to ask me? Like, am I going to look dumb? Like, gosh, like, what if I can't even understand some of the terms? But the reality is that I've been in this space for over a decade, and it's like a, this is like a little, you're like kind of giving me a little trophy here today. Like, I've made it to the point with my marketing that I'm being noticed by professional marketers who have 700 students and 100 employees, and he wants to talk to me. I was like, gosh, this is wonderful. So thank you for like this gift of being on your show. It's meaningful.
So you're welcome. And I love to be a milestone, you know, for milestone. People's, you know, for people's business, this, every little thing. It's really powerful. We don't realize how our words and how our acts and invitations and little videos that we do can provide so much value to people's lives. And so often we're just afraid to even bother them and ask, right? We don't want to bother them. So how was it, what was it like for you to, even though you were great at talking and communicating, building on this theme of it being uncomfortable, it's going to be an awkward transition, it's going to be terrifying, especially things like whether, you know, and whether you stay in your niche or your profession, or whether you start at a brand new as an affiliate marketer or as doing something totally different on the internet, right? It's going to be uncomfortable. But the skills of being on camera, and I know that you deal with this every day as a family coach, and how the screen can be both a blessing and a curse. But for talking from a marketing standpoint, talking from a business standpoint, what was it like for you to transition to now doing a lot of your communication on camera? And how did you get comfortable on camera to have a presence to where you could get your message across and realize that you could do this? You can actually be on camera and be just as effective as in real life. And I'm sure that was a moment of sort of, you know, a come to Jesus, whatever you want to call it, during COVID, because you were also faced with this time limiter. You were out of work. So
You have you have out of work. You've got to pivot. You got to make changes. My response to you
helped you. Do you think that helped you?
Oh, it absolutely did. It actually did, because I actually was stuck in fear for 2 years, Dave.
Okay.
I knew I wanted to really be on social media, and I knew I really wanted to, create online products, but I didn't like seeing myself on camera, and I was scared. And actually, even one of the things that got me over my fear is that I was working out in my garage, man. And on my phone, this phone right here, I made a list of my fears. And the fears are pretty scary. Like, at that time, like, my friends will think I'm stupid. My friends will not watch my videos. People will don't agree with my teaching. I'm going to publicly fail and embarrass myself. I mean, it was so hard. Yeah. And then I just hit a point, man, where I said, you know what? Screw it. I know I want to do this. I know I'm going to suck at it in the beginning, which I did. And I got to do this because this is what my heart is like calling me to do. And I did suck at it for a while and a long time. And I just kept grinding, and I didn't like seeing myself on camera. And I just kept growing and pivoting and trying new things. And even like my TikTok story is kind of interesting, because I made like 5 or 6 videos on TikTok. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to try filming in a different way, different kind of style. Okay. And then that video went to like something like, I don't know, 500,000 views. And I was like, oh my gosh, yes, it finally happened. And then the very next video went to like 300,000, and then this, and then that, and then I was like, oh my gosh, it's finally breaking through. So yeah, as of right now, I have 500,000 followers on TikTok, and just launched my new YouTube channel. My podcast launches, The Sean Donahue Show, will come out a week from today. Really pumped about that. Been working on my book for 2.5 years. It's called Schools Won't Teach This, A Parent's How-To Guide to Raise Wise, Emotionally Intelligent Adults. And I mean, this is,
You're cruising,
the fruits of stepping into my fears. You know, I've got a small coaching team of coaches here and there in person and Zoom.
Yeah.
And most important thing in my life is, you know, have a, my wife, Danielle, and I have been married for 18 years. My three daughters are happy and healthy, and I love them, and they love me and they like me most of the time. And yeah, man.
Yeah, it's beautiful what can blossom out of a you know, I call it turn your struggles into your strengths, turn your mess into a message. But basically, COVID hits, we're in a you know, global pandemic. You know, basically the world's kind of, you know, burning down around us in a way. It's kind of scary. Yeah. Future is, and people are everybody experienced that differently, by the way.
Yes, I sure did.
I'm not generalizing. I mean, some people lost family members. I mean, it was terrifying. But but I, as somebody just commented, being kind of locked away sometimes really makes you reevaluate what's important to you. And I oftentimes also think having a little bit of pressure is good. You know, some of our students here in our community want to make a change so bad, but they're pretty complacent where they're at, you know. It's hard to make a change you've got, you know, when you've kind of got it, when you don't have some sort of pressure. So maybe consider that for all of you who are coming in. How do you create, how do you hold yourself accountable now that you are successful, more successful? You don't have to, you can, it is easier to play hooky because, you know, people aren't even seeing you, that you're not even really, you're not driving into an office as much or at all anymore. So what are some of the things that on a daily basis now that keep you driving forward, that keep you motivated? Is it now the pull from your clients more than it is some push of fear? How has the motivation changed?
Oh, what a wonderful question. I don't think anyone's even asked me that ever. So yeah, the key for me is that I'm just naturally self-motivated. I have other answers to that, but that, I mean, that it comes from within mostly. It comes from a calling. Like I feel like I'm supposed to be doing this. Like I would do this for free. Like this is, like I have a gift and I think God really wants me to help people. I was actually at a men's group just last night at my church. And let me see how I want to share this appropriately. You know, one of the men there shared that he lost his temper. There's a small group of like 12. And sweet man, big old dude, like 6'3". And he shared in the group that he lost his temper and he slapped his daughter in his face, in her face, slapped her. And I'm just listening and I just have, you know, I have compassion for the man and I just feel uncomfortable, you know, because that's wrong. And I don't know, should I say something? What should I say? Another dad shared that he has been estranged from his children for 3 years. 3 years, and how he used to be an alcoholic and he was in law enforcement and he used to rage and have PTSD and he was raised by a military dad and he didn't know any other way to parent. And now his adult kids, they don't want to talk to him. And he still drives on holidays and he drops presents, you know, at their door. And I said, you know what? I did want to say something. And so I spoke up and I'm not going to tell you what I shared, but I just said to these men, hey, there's hope for you. You can come back from this. You can come back from both these things. And so don't lose hope. There's ways you can get through this. And if there's any way I can help you, please let me know. Now I forgot your question, man.
Well, just what
I forgot your question.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Like
powerful experience, but
what's your question again?
It was just what's pulling you now.
I think I did answer your question. That is what's pulling me.
Yeah,
that is that. There's everyday moms and dads out there, Dave, that are hurting, and I can help, and I want to help. The second way to answer that is my podcast, man. It's sat. I've had five amazing episodes recorded for maybe a year. One of my best buddies is named Jordan Steele. He's a weatherman on the Weather Channel. He's a very charismatic dude. So I was like, hey, Jordan, man. He just texted me on this show and because we're supposed to meet today. I think it was about his boat. So we might have to move our meeting because his boat breakdown. Freaking boats. And I was like, hey, bro, dude, me and you, podcast. Let's go. No guests. Me and you just talking parenting, dad life. Let's do this. Can we do a podcast? He's like, he lives in Georgia because that's where the Weather Channel is based out of. He's like, hail to the yes. Let's go. So he's going to do this for free. But then, you know, it's sitting on my thing, my freaking, I sitting on my to-do list for 9 months, Dave. So yeah. Frustrated. I got the graphics. So what do? Well, I partner with them. I'm a podcast coach now, right? I have an amazing. I'm part of the Brave Network, podcast network now with Coach Amanda Carroll. And Amanda is telling me what to do. She's telling me what to do. And I'm like, just tell me what to do. Because I need inspiration. I need accountability. Yeah. So yes, I brought an Oprah person on my team to tell me, who knows who's smarter than me. Because dude, I am not that smart. I'm not that smart, man. I can tell you a lot about relationships, communication, attachment theory, parenting, family dynamics. But and I guess I can tell you a lot about marketing now. I guess I could. TikTok, maybe I could tell you about funnels. I don't know, man. But dude, I can't tell you much about much. And I can tell you a lot about the Golden State Warriors and Seattle Seahawks. I can tell you a lot about driving a pontoon. But I can't tell you much about podcasting.
Well, you know, it's interesting because there's so many, and nowadays there's even more tools coming out that make us look smarter than we actually are.
So true.
You know, I mean, these artificial intelligence were, you know, I learned to write copy, which for those that's marketing copy. Jargon. Right. Copy is just words that are on a page that sell. And for some reason that's called copywriting. You know, it's called copy. I don't know why, but it's marketing jargon.
Yeah.
And you know, when I often talk about this, you know, I feel like I sound like the old guy who's like, I walked up 2 miles uphill. You know, when I used to write my own copy, you know, until my fingers bled. But, you know, in 2023, there are a lot of tools that can make you look really good, that can make you, you know, and there are a lot of people and there is a lot of access to a lot of people to be able to help. And that's exactly what you're doing. So because so many of our people have kids as well, I want to talk a little bit about what you've learned about being an entrepreneur dad and how, you know, you have, how you've been able to be on screens all day, to work through the internet, to take advantage of 2023's technology, right? But also, how do we as entrepreneurs blend that with the realities, which are, you know, hey, I can be just as far away from my kids right here at home as I am at the office if have some sort of boundaries. I'm not going to call it work-life balance because I think that's an overused term and I don't really know what that means. But if I don't have boundaries, right? So can you talk to
Well, you took my word. Yeah, you took my word. I mean, boundaries. If you think about this, like here's one of the things I say. Gosh, I nerd out on that word. So our kids are going to learn a lot of great things in school. They're going to learn some reading and writing, some cool sciencey stuff, some cool US history stuff. But the most important lessons in life, our kids are never going to learn in school. They're never going to learn how to have a healthy relationship with a screen, how to build self-esteem from within, how to set boundaries, how to thrive with a challenging sibling, how to do your chores and understand the concept of family teamwork when you don't feel like being a part of a team, how to get through COVID, how to get through bullying, how to get through when someone disrespects you, how to manage your anger so it doesn't manage you. And yeah, they're never going to take a class in boundaries. So who is going to teach them all these things? Because schools won't teach this. Yeah. Well, so parents are teachers and every home is a school. So there, when you talk about work-life balance and boundaries, the first thing you know that I think of is, man, our kids are watching us. And the second thing I think of is you've got to really have a very, very, very strong definition of success. Because I do not define success with finances. I sure do not. I would like to have finances, but that is, I'm not going to let my desire for finances and my financial goals get in the way of really what's most important to me. And what's most important to me is being present with my family past 5 p.m. and being with them on the weekends. I have thousands and thousands and thousands of unresponded to comments on social media. And I've lost a lot of followers, and because I don't post here and I don't respond there, and I've taken breaks, and because that's not the most important thing to me. And when I tell you that the last 2 months, 3 months, I've spent very, very little time on my phone past 5 o'clock. I'm not telling you this to brag or to boast or to teach you anything. It's actually a story of pain. Why would I decide what happened to me that I, Tave, had to say to myself, what the hell is wrong with me? Get off my phone past 5 o'clock. What happened to me? Well, bad stuff happened to me, man. And I don't really want to get into it right now, but I made some bad choices over the summer and I lost track of my goals and I made some poor choices with alcohol and with screens and with my time and my mind. And I veered off the path. And starting on September 4th or 5th, I was like, I got to get my life together. I'm making these videos about helping people with their families, but I have veered off the path. And my wife has just reminded me I'm veered off the path. And I'm a freaking poser right now. I'm making videos about healthy family dynamics, but I am not doing well. I'm like watching too much TV. I'm on my phone too much. I made some bad choices with alcohol. And like, I'm a freaking loser right now. I got to realize who I am and get my marriage back on track. I got to get my spirituality back on track, my mental health back on track, my boundaries back on track. So yeah, man, that's a little bit about work-life freaking balance.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't had a real job. I don't know if I've ever had a real job, but seriously, man. I mean, I was in drug treatment in 2004 and 5, came out and basically just kind of hopped and flopped around through relapses until I basically started working with my dad in 2008 and kind of slept on his couch and got clean. And I've been clean from opiates. I had a heroin addiction. And so, you know, I immediately within about a year started working online, and then cell phones came out and, mm-hmm. you know, screens mm-hmm. have been a part of my life, at least my adult, you know, sober life for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's difficult. It's been difficult I've gone through various different phases of shame and guilt. Now I'm in a place right now to where I really feel like a lot of my issue personally was that I felt guilty as a dad. This was back with my younger, older child. I felt guilty as a dad. And, mm-hmm. And so I was parenting out of guilt because I wasn't there. And I think it doesn't matter what level of guilt or how you weren't there for your kid. If you're even working and you're always away from the house, there's a certain level of guilt there because you don't want to be away from the house. You realize mm-hmm. when you're in traffic and all this other stuff, or you get home, or as my friend Sam said, one day he wrote a book called Every Day is Saturday because his child said, "Is it Saturday yet?"
And oh my gosh, wow.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like throughout
I do know what you mean.
Right? Is it Saturday yet? And then he wanted to make every day Saturday. It's mm-hmm. kind of a cool concept.
It really is.
You know, it's really interesting because you brought up your own challenge over the summer. And how we deal with guilt and shame, you know, how we deal with guilt and shame. You described getting into the solution. You know, you described these actions that you're now taking. And I think the thing that's so damaging, especially to men, is that we let that guilt and shame just pile up and we don't do anything about it. And it really turns toxic. You know, for me, what I took from what you shared and also what I want to share with the audience is that, you know, there's whether it's a job, whether it's your career is, you know, actually creating more guilt than it is, mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. than it is, you know, the scales have tipped. or whether it's something more personal and challenging, like you described, because I've been through these situations so many times in my life, to where I've been in a situation to where I'm at a crossroads, or I'm trying to self-sabotage. I'm actually self-sabotaging.
Yep.
Man, it's so important to get into action and get into the solution fast.
Yes, sir.
Not sit in it and not dwell in it, because I know when I sit in it and I dwell in it and I don't do something about it, the sabotage gets worse and worse and worse. And yes, then I create even bigger problems. I don't know what that means for each and every listener. It could mean that, you know, you really need to take action on the education that you're here to take action on, that you bought, and actually do something with it. It may mean that, you know, you need to go home and make amends or something for something that you did.
Yeah,
you
man.
Need to
go
have a conversation that, you know what, my job is, I'm feeling guilty that I'm away so much, and just begin to talk about it and get it out.
Yes.
And get the solution marinating on the family couch or at the dinner table.
Yes,
right?
Sir. Like, yeah, man.
A lot of us men, and I did this for just so long, we get so hopeless, and then we're afraid to share it, like the guy did in your church group. And it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to take that long for us to make a change, you know. And I love that you shared that you took massive action on, you know, setting some serious boundaries around your screens. I really appreciate that. I know that was personal, and that was important for us to hear something so, you know, human from you. And I've heard lots of those little things. You've got 500,000 followers on TikTok. You've got a successful practice that was there even before all this internet fame. Yet you've got podcasts you didn't launch. You've got, you know, imperfections as a dad and a husband, as a man. You've got, you know, flaws. How much of these things do you share with your audience?
So challenging, because when you think about sharing with your audience, so I have two teenagers, 18 and 13, and I have a wife, and I'll tell you right now, they don't want to be on camera. They don't want me to tell stories about them. They have boundaries. And my 18-year-old doesn't want me just to take a picture of her, a family photo, and just put it on our Instagram, because she's 18 and she's not into that. And so it's this, boundaries are very key in that. Here's a juicy story for you. I mean, this is very personal right here. I do want to share this because I want to help. This is hard to say. How do I want to say this one? So I've made some mistakes in things that I've posted regarding crossing the line with, I shared too much with people, and my family told me too much. That hurts.
Yeah.
I have to be able to trust you, Dad. But then what about my own parents? So I launched my YouTube channel, which means I have these long form videos that I have shared. They're called Sean Speaks, where I talk for 25 minutes on a topic. And in one of my videos, I share a painful story from my childhood about, I don't want to share right now about, I will, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. About how we had a family meeting when I was a teenager to talk to my mother. And so I could be crossing the line right now as we speak. And my stepdad and my sister and I, we were struggling with her. So we wanted to sit down and work it out and talk to her, because we love her. And because she, you know, did the best she could as a mom, and she was a really good mom in a lot of ways, and we love her and cherish her. We wanted to work together as two young adults and her, you know. And she said some mean things, and she walked out of the meeting. So I shared that story on a YouTube, and while I'm meeting with a Zoom client, Dave, my phone is blowing up. Do you know who's texting me, Dave?
Mom.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a single mom. Living all by herself up in Washington in a condo. She's blowing me up and she's saying lots of mean things to me.
Yeah.
On the text. And I don't blame her, right? She's hurt because I shared a personal story from my childhood.
Right.
And I'm confused, man. And so I don't want to tell you how I'm handling this because I'm not ready to do that. But I'm talking to my wife about it. And I'm talking to my mom about it. But the video is still up and I just share the story again. And maybe I'm doing the wrong thing, man. Maybe I'm not honoring my parents. I don't know. But I have stories about my parents in my book, right?
Yeah.
So what am I not allowed to share freaking stories about my childhood in my right. book? Am I muted because my parents are still alive? Do I have to wait until they're dead to yeah. tell stories of my childhood? Like, I get it. It's my 18-year-old daughter. That's my wife. There's a boundaries there. But like, yeah. so see, I'm just like trying to, when I go on podcasts, like in shows, I don't want to just give you cheesy answers. I want to like be real. And I'm just trying to yeah. let you in. Like, I'm just like trying to figure this out, man. So yeah. yeah. So it's hard for me to show vulnerability on camera because if I show vulnerability, I'm not just representing myself. I'm representing yeah. my family and it's not yeah. easy. And I don't want to put my, you know.
It's interesting that you bring this up because I mean, every single person who's listening to this or who will hear this replay is dealing with this in some capacity. I don't know what is okay for me to share, whether it's about my family or not, because even if it's about just me, because many people are going to get that phone call and that text in some way, shape, or form from others when they start to express themselves as you're doing, as I'm doing online, as we're all doing. And so navigating that, and by the way, thanks for sharing that. I mean, that's really, really, it's really powerful. And it's, I know it took a lot of courage. So what also came up for me, Sean.
Yeah. What comes up for you when you hear these stories? Yeah.
I think about, my own, how I've navigated talking about my family and talking about my childhood and talking about my life. Right. And for me, I'm not in that particular field that you're in. And so I do the things that you do every day. Like I'm getting ready to go on a plane and fly to Dallas. I'm going to a recovery men's group for the next 3 days.
Wow, man. Awesome.
I'll do a lot of, but I've been in the recovery 12 step.
Yeah,
therapeutic yeah. process for over a decade.
Oh, love it.
But a lot of the things that you do on a daily basis and in the topics that you talk about on a daily basis are slightly different. But so I've not really shared a lot of the like the negative and ugly family dynamic stories publicly. Because it doesn't make sense because it's not really my niche, yeah, right? It's yeah, not right. really my kind
right.
of, you know.
Yeah.
So what I've been able to do is I did interview my dad one time and that's up on my YouTube channel. And we got into some pretty,
mm-hmm.
That was powerful, man. Like I sat down with my dad on Father's Day and I was a little gentle with him because I've done a lot more therapy than he has. And I didn't want to trigger him. You know what I mean? Cause he had a really, really, really horrific childhood. Matter of fact, his father was shot and killed right in front of him, because wow. of wow. alcoholism in the family and wow. violence inside of the home.
Okay.
So that's my roots. That's where I come from. And so we did talk a little bit about that on the YouTube video. And there was a great positive response. I don't really know how my dad felt about that, whether he felt, you know, whether he felt embarrassed or whether he felt proud. You know, I'm sure there was a mixture of feelings that he had, okay. right? Because, okay. you know, he was a, you know, it's, I think it's a weird thing for families when you kind of are a either a poor or a middle-class family, and you kind of raise your kids with this certain like system mentality, which is get a job and this is the way you do it. And then your kids kind of go off and do something totally different, which is what I did.
Okay.
I got into drugs, then entrepreneurship, and then, and then I became really successful. And I'm sure that's weird to navigate, to have a child who becomes successful and builds a big,
Would
that make you feel inadequate?
Would right.
You feel proud? I don't
right.
know.
Right. We don't know.
Shoes.
But
what I have, what I've done is I've been able personally, what came up for me was that, that this learning how to communicate and learning marketing specifically, because marketing's not all about manipulation. It's about telling stories. It's about, It's about telling the story of a product. It's about learning how to talk deeper than the features and benefits. Right. And so for me, I've been able to share a lot of personal things in my life, not so much like family dynamics, but personal things and personal struggles in my own life, the way that you've done throughout this podcast.
Yes.
And what it's done is it's bonded me to my audience so much faster.
Yes.
Because they feel, because when you do self-disclosure like that in the appropriate times and ways, then it creates a connection that you could never create any other way.
Yes.
Because you're opening yourself up to people. Yeah. And I think that's what came up for me when you were sharing that, was the power of being vulnerable, which I really started to get interested in with some of the Brené Brown material.
Yep. Yes, that's great.
You know, yep. And so would you talk to me from a mark, put on your marketing hat for a second and talk to me about sharing vulnerability from your perspective and how, you know, how it's whatever it is like for you. I know for me, it's difficult to find the line about what's too much and what's, you know, what's the purpose? Why am I sharing this? Is this because I'm, so talk to us about how opening up and being vulnerable may have created this tension over here within your own personal family, at least with mom, not with your children, because it sounds like you're practicing boundaries.
No, definitely with my children too at times. Yeah. We have a challenge. So let me just,
I also want you to say a little bit about the bonding and the business and the success and the connection that's come from your audience from sharing those pieces, if those things have happened.
Yeah, man. It's like for everyone who's in the entrepreneurial space or want to do coaching, live events, products, it's like we have a challenge because we're going to have our coaches, people like Dave, they're going to tell us, hey, you've got to tell your story. You've got to be vulnerable. And that's really good advice, to show your humanity to your crew, to get your fans, to show your story. But the challenge is then, how do you do that like in an authentic way?
Yeah.
Because it's hard to do it in an authentic way that actually really is, first of all, respectful to you and your own honesty, your own morals. Two, right. Respectful to your family. Who is going to be hearing this story? Are you telling it? Can you tell it in a different way if it is disrespectful? And then three would be the listener, the consumer, the potential client needs to come last, because if you're putting yourself or your family last, well, that sucks. And then you say, I got to make money. I got to do this. Well, what about me? It's like this, you're violating their boundaries. And man, I tell you, if you got 6-year-olds, they might love being on camera. My 6-year-old's on my videos a lot, but but when they reach a certain age, they're not going to be your props, your puppets. And, you know, they're not going to want to have you tell some of these stories that you might tell. Mm. So those are some responses. So I think that's that challenge of authenticity and vulnerability is very key. Now, the other thing I think about is, if you think of like a Tony Robbins character, who I like, big love Tony Robbins. Maybe I'm wrong, because I'm not like, I don't like subscribe to his programs. I don't hear a lot of vulnerability from Tony Robbins. He's like this, you know, godlike figure. And so in a sense, I believe you don't have to do that in a sense too. You don't have to show vulnerabilities to be successful in the coaching space. There are a lot of people that actually don't do that. And they just kind of go ahead and say, look at me. I'm in the muscle space. I'm in bodybuilding. I'm jacked. I've been jacked my whole life. This is how I get jacked. And you can get jacked too. They don't have to have a story, be like, yeah, I used to be, 300 pounds. And so, but they can then tell other vulnerable stories about like, what is that like, being so jacked? Is it hard for you? Is it hard for you? Like, here's a great example. Imagine if you're that guy and you're jacked. I just like that word clearly. Then your kids don't want to work out. Right.
Right.
What about that? That's vulnerable. Yeah. My typical client is a very, one of my profiles of my typical client, Dave, is like a very successful person financially.
Totally.
Could be a mother or a man, or it could be the wife of somebody or the husband.
Your target audience.
Yeah. One of my typical profile clients is somebody who has resources, and they could be a CEO or they could, be a high achiever.
And maybe successful in their work or employment, but is having challenges at home.
Well, yeah, think about it. You're a CEO and you've got 5,000 people under you, and you come home and you say, hey guys, how's it going? And they ignore you. That's pretty typical experience for a CEO.
I come home and my wife,
you're laughing because you're connecting with that. Like, what the hell is this? Like, I'm like famous, you guys. People listen to me. I was just on a podcast. I have this many employees. Like, I was just interviewed on USA Today.
Ego deflation for me for the last very many years. But yes, please continue.
So this is the real life stuff. Or what about this? Or what if this is funny and like heartbreaking at the same time. Okay, what if you're on there and you're in the trades, right? You're out there and you're in construction, you're working as a lineman. I mean, you got a nice beard and you're a tough guy. People don't mess with you because you would kick their ass. And you're tough and you grew up in a tough environment. Oh, I'm hearing an echo. Echo really bad.
Good on our side.
Where is it going there? And then
you
come home and your kids are on screens. They're ignoring you. You're a lazy bones and they're disrespecting your face. And you would never disrespect your dad like that because you would get smacked, but you can't get smacked. You can't smack your kids because your wife's not going to let you smack them. You don't really want to smack them, but you don't know what else to do. And then one day you're chilling at work. And your wife sends you a TikTok video of a guy named the Family Coach. And she says, hey, we should parent our kids like this. You need to be like this. And you're like, what the hell is this? Who is this guy? Some hippie dude from California. What are you talking about? I'm not going to parent. I can't parent like this. I wasn't raised like this. This is weird. Right? So like I'm trying to like parenting. My friends, is for many of us, it's actually the most emotional thing that you and I will ever do. Very emotional, very challenging. And why is it emotional? Well, I just told you some comical anecdotes of why it could be very emotional for us. I mean, these kids, they have a way of getting under our skin, pushing our buttons, bringing out the worst in us. They also have the ability to bring out the best in us. They bring out our tenderness, our gentleness. They bring out our sacrifice. They bring out love and selflessness out of our hands and out of our words and out of our bodies in ways that we didn't even know existed because we love them so much. So yes, and then also just to speak directly to your audience, being an entrepreneur or going in this space with Dave is going to be highly emotional for you. So not only do you need tools to do these four core models or whatever you're going to do in your business, but then you need tools for your mind and you need tools for the emotions, tools to set healthy boundaries with work, tools to deal with the stress of feeling, I have to do this, deal with tools of feeling like a failure every day. Because tools for the mind to, how do I get through if I get tempted to want to abuse alcohol or self-medicate or to run away because my home life is so chaotic. So, and the good news is that there's tools out there. There's tools out there. There's help out there, and there's people like me out there. There's people like Dave out there. Yeah. Oh, hold on, Dave. I can't hear you.
I was muted.
Oh, there you go.
Sorry. still a technical idiot over here on my side. Let's do a rapid fire. Well, I didn't think I was going to make this entire episode because I was feeling a little under the weather, but dude, you got me fired up.
Yeah, man. Cool. Thank you.
A couple of rapid fire questions. And do you got an 11 o'clock?
No.
A 3 minute hard stop?
No, I don't. Like this is cool.
I'm not gonna take much more of your time, and I appreciate you being so awesome this morning and just sharing putting a lot of effort into your shares, man. I mean this is good stuff. It's heavy stuff. What did you do back 5 videos into your TikTok channel? What change did you make with your content that really started to make your videos take off?
I changed some of the changes I made was more fast paced. Number two, intensity. Like you can't just say things softly. If you want to excel in short form video, you've got to be intense. So one of my greatest gifts in life is the use of my words. I'm very skilled at using words in a creative way. I think of myself as an artist, but one of my greatest weaknesses in life is my words. Words can be like a fire. I can destroy things very quickly in my life. So yeah. It's a huge struggle of mine to want to be the dad I want to be and the husband I want to be. And so, people on the short form, it's really about rawness, realness, intensity, and then content. Like, what you're saying, is it unique, right? Is it unique? Like whenever I want to be on camera, I want to share something new. That's why I share these new stories with you today. As you can see, it was freaking hard for me. Yeah. I don't know if I made the right decision with that story about my mom. I really don't, because I just doubled down. You know what I mean? On the story.
Right.
Right.
You did.
I did.
Yeah. It doesn't. So I like that. I want to stay with the intensity thing and in you learning that and realizing that about kind of what works and stuff. Like, do you turn your energy up a little bit? Would you say that you're
Yeah, I do. So sometimes people even say, and this is like one of my fears coming to reality. Sometimes people tell me, Sean, it seems like you're being, people actually know me. They say, yeah. Sean, it's like you're being fake. You're being fake. And I say, I don't know if I'm being fake. I think that it's not like a character I play. Cause that like connotation has like negative connotations, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
This is like a part of really who I am. And I need to show, I feel like for me to help these people, I need to deliver this message in this type of way.
Yeah.
And so, yes, if I'm going to be doing a live event or if I'm going to be making a video, it's going to be different than how I'm just hanging out with you on a Saturday and we're like, you know, barbecuing some ribs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's not like a performance, but it's like, I need to speak. It's almost like you need to, even when you were with your website, you need to don't create a website that's for you. You need to create a website for your potential clients that speaks to them. So when I think about using my words and orating, I think about, okay, not what do I want to hear, but what do they need to hear and how do they need to hear it?
Yeah. So when you're creating something there, and that's, I can relate to that. It's just dialing up the intensity level a little bit. I'm actually fairly introverted, off camera. I'm not a loud guy. I can get loud. I mean, when I'm comfortable and I'm laughing, I can get loud.
Yeah.
But I think there's a misconception that you got to be a huge extrovert and you got to be this kind of big A-type personality, and only one type of personality can succeed in content creation and marketing. And I just have found that to be incredibly untrue.
I agree.
Based on my own personality and also based on all these other people that I know. I also, nowadays in 2023, have seen people succeeding at crazy levels without really ever even getting vocal. I mean, there's a lady in your niche, Peaceful Barb. This is a lady who she's a therapist, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I believe she's in family dynamics in one way, shape or form, because she's always sharing content on this on that topic. But rarely ever does she actually speak in her videos. Mm. So it's not particularly about the levels of your voice, how you know, powerful you speak or anything else like that. It truly is the type of content. It is the content.
So is true. I'm really glad you said that too, because I don't want, just because I might be one of those more animated, louder type people on camera. I totally agree with what you said. It's like some people, they're helping a lot of people by just what they post on Instagram, right? I mean, just these beautiful little one-liners, or they create these memes. Yeah. Or they just make these short little snippets. Hey, Peaceful, I have no idea who Peaceful Barb is. I'm Peaceful Barb here.
I'm giving her a plug.
Just want to remind you, you know, to live a peaceful life today and don't give your power away to the kids, to your children. And like that could be really helpful, right? And so, yeah, I think it's like this has to go into our, you know, one of our challenges is what, not the, the questions should be mixed, like not only what do I do want to do on camera, what do I feel comfortable with, but then also like what is landing with my audience? Because I've had to morph myself and keep changing and growing, and I still do. That's why on my videos, you see a lot of diversity on my videos, a lot, because I like to do diversity. And I don't care if one form of me gets lower views than another. I don't care. I'm not like going to be a slave to the view count. You know, it's like in your heart, what do you want to do to help people and show up? I think that's really where you start with yourself. Are you, where are your intentions in this?
Yeah, for sure, man. Well, I can tell that you're you know, you eat, sleep and breathe what you do, right? You believe in what you do, because it's the way that you show up, which is authentic, man, and vulnerable. And most importantly, I can see that I experience you as somebody who wants to try, who wants to try new things, and you're doing it right here today. You even said that. And if you could just talk a little bit about this before we bring this in for a landing, what so many people come into, let me frame this the right way. So many people come into marketing and they're kind of thinking that there's, and we, our products are the 15-day online business builder challenge. And then we have business blueprints, and in the blueprints, although they're laid out, if you think like a construction site, they're laid out, there is a formula. You may run into something on the job where you have to make a change, an adjustment. You have to, in real life, things don't always look like they do on paper. So there's a lot of testing. There's a lot of trying things. And it's much different from employment, where you really, you have to have permission. You better not do something. You better not shoot first and ask for forgiveness later at a job, because you know, that's not what you do. That's not what you're getting. You're not getting paid to think about the business. You're getting paid to just do your job. And so how much of this is you figuring it out as you go, and testing and trying new things literally on a daily basis?
I think it's shockingly high how much you have to figure it out as you go. The amount of failures that I experience personally is shockingly high. I have failed in so many things, you would be shocked. Like, how could you still be in it? I failed at so many things. It's so embarrassing. But I've also had successes and milestones, because if I didn't have them, then I would have had to stop. I should have stopped. Like, I have somebody in my life that I'm thinking of right now. They just have been at it for so long, and there's so many failures and so few successes. The person should have stopped a long time ago. and I just feel for them, but that's what they want to do. But their failures are kind of hurting the people in their life, because it's like, it hurts. It hurts to love someone who is like so stubborn at something. They just keep going and going and going, and they just keep failing and failing year in, year out. So I don't know, man. This is why you've got to have good friends in our lives and good other people who speak truth into our life and some type of system of feedback. Because, for example, okay, let's say I have 500,000 followers on TikTok. Let's say a year from now I'll have 1 million. Do you know what that means? It actually means crap. It means nothing. It doesn't mean I'm making any money. It doesn't mean I'm helping anybody. And do you think that my family gives a crap about that? No, they don't. Do my friends care? No, they do not. So it's like, who, you got to define what is success in your mind. Yeah. And really, who are you even doing this for? And this is stuff I struggle with, and we all struggle with it. This is why I'm talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt, man, no doubt. And I love that you said that people don't, it's important that even as we get more successful, this is what's coming up for me as I'm in the final thought I'll share. When you become more successful, it's so important to stay in touch with reality and remember that the internet is not reality. It's just a tool, you know, and it's so important to use it and not let it use us. And I don't mean that in the form of just sitting there and staring at the screen all day. I also mean staying in touch with reality and remembering why we started doing it in the first place, which was for whatever reason. You want to be home with your family more, you want to, right? Whatever the thing is.
Yeah.
Or you just want to do it for yourself. Like you want to do it because you want to be more free, right?
You want to be free. These are all good things. Feeling free. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really important to have that, as you said, that feedback loop of people who you can connect with, who give you real honest feedback and who also understand your journey. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned your friends who don't care and who they don't care about your online persona because they love you just in real life. And it's important to have those people, but it's also for me been important to have people who understand this entrepreneur journey that I'm on too.
Yeah.
And I don't try to make my friends who don't get it. I used to.
They
don't get it.
They don't get it.
And even if your family doesn't get it, there's no sense in trying to freaking convince those people. They won't get it.
And so,
understanding who on your team is the doctor, who on your team is the friend in real life,
that's deep.
Who on your team is the entrepreneur friend, you know what I mean? And having that complete circle, I feel like, is important. And I don't mean to get a new point brewing up here, but that was what came up for me as you were sharing.
That's a new point. I think that that's a really wise answer to your question, right? It may not seem like that's an answer to your previous question, but it really is. I mean, it's about how do we protect ourselves from ourselves?
Yeah.
And stay level and, totally. And stay authentic.
And you will have 1 million followers. I mean, as long as there's no issues with that platform, but like you're dialed in, you're dialed in. Like now you have the skill. And this is a thing that I always try to, get through to our students here in our clients is that even if a platform shuts down or something happens, nobody can ever take this skill that you have, which is the ability to get a message across and to put it on a piece of digital media and put it out there and have it spin and play for all these people and that to create clicks and ultimately cash or sales or whatever. Like, nobody can take that skill from you.
Yes.
Even if you lose an account or something like that.
It's a great skill. It's a great tool. I'm so happy to have it.
Well, I'm happy you developed
it, man.
About it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too. And me too. Thanks and happy to have this milestone, with you to talk about and share this skill and to celebrate.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah. For sure. Thanks for coming on. And maybe we can do a follow-up episode to where we hear more about, some of the stories that you shared today. I'm sure our audience and me personally would like to you know, close the loop on some of those things. And just, I like to hear updates about people's progress and track them over. You know, we have had people that have been on the show 2, 3, even 4 times, even students who started and have come back on our show. So, Sean, thanks, man. Thanks so much for coming on this morning, and thanks for your stories and your experience. And we'll send people to learn from you and follow you and support you and go in and really understand more about how we can be better parents as entrepreneurs in 2023.
Yes, sir. Yeah, man. Yeah. You can find me on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, all the main things. Or you can find me at my main website, which is parentingmodernteens.com. If you're struggling with your parenting or struggling with your co-parenting, if you've got a challenging child, my job is to make your job easier. Put some tools in your toolbox so you don't have to sit in that pain, of that pattern and that cycle. There are ways to bring harmony and peace into your home. And then I love giving people those tools. And yeah. Dave, I got a question for you. Is this, I think I learned something about myself talking with you today. I learned that it's much more easier and natural for me to be vulnerable when I'm talking to somebody. Versus me holding my camera up and doing a TikTok. So is this video going to be, can I get a copy of this video? Because I might take some snippets of it and make some content out of it.
Absolutely, man.
Okay.
Well, you can absolutely use that. And it's been great content. Cool. I love that when we do something and it's like, wow, man, that felt good. That felt comfortable. That felt, you know, wow, I learned something or I didn't like that. That didn't feel comfortable.
Right, yeah,
I'm not going to do that again. So absolutely, man. And we'll help get that to you if you have any issues, any way that we can, and have a fantastic day and fantastic week, brother. And we'll talk to you really soon. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Thanks for having me, everybody. All right. Take care.
See you, Sean. Bye. All right, my friends, go and follow Sean. Let's support Sean and learn from Sean. He is, of course, as he said, at parentingmodernteens.com. And then his social media profiles, his Instagram, the.familycoach. So the dot is between the and family, the.familycoach. And then over on TikTok, it's the.family.coach. All right. And wow. Conversation touched on a lot of different things, but I'm glad that I was a little under the weather today, but I'm glad I was able to show up and have this conversation, because you know there's so many more dynamics to this life and also this process of being an entrepreneur than just putting together a funnel. You know, putting together a funnel, it's never the funnel that takes you out. It's never the technical stuff that takes you out, right? Nobody ever takes a tombstone for their business because they couldn't figure out how to do something technical. It's always up here or some sort of dynamic within family or friends, or, you know, that we allow to stop us, or we choose to say, I don't want to continue on because this is too uncomfortable. And that's why I always talk about the dynamics versus the mechanics. The mechanics of this are just the tip of the iceberg. The dynamics are the entire iceberg that you don't see below, which is what we try to talk about on this show. And it's the whole purpose of this show. So if you're new to this community and you're wondering what's the real secret behind some of this, the success of these people, listen to the stories, the nearly 700 episodes on this show. You can just binge through them if you want to. And you'll hear all of the dynamics behind the scenes that people are also focusing on and aware of, not just the funnels, right? Paying attention to those other areas, learning not to try to explain things to friends and family who just don't get it, but seeking to try to find people to put in your support group who do get it. There's nothing like speaking to somebody who understands what you're talking about. Just like when I used to be in drug counseling or drug treatment, and I would go to talk to the therapist who wasn't an addict versus the therapist who was. There was just a deeper connection there. So there's somebody who has gone through exactly what you're going through or feeling as you're launching your brand new business. And it's important to not stop before the miracle happens, before you hear that person's story or realize that you're not alone, right? Because you're not. No matter what you're feeling, the anxieties or what you're going through, you're not alone. Somebody, even lots of people right here in this community, probably many who have been on the show, have gone through it, processed through it, and proven that it's possible. It's just It's just leaning into some of these things that are uncomfortable instead of running away from them. That's really the what being an entrepreneur is all about. It's about leaning into the uncomfortable stuff and solving problems versus ignoring them, and then letting that guilt and that shame of not doing something about it build and build and build. And how could I ever expect to live a healthy, productive life if I'm full of shame and guilt from not taking action on things that I know that I need to take action on? Doesn't need to be mountain moving action. It just needs to be something, right, to where you get those little tiny positive milestones on a daily basis. You pick one thing to accomplish each day, the most important thing for that day. Throw the damn to-do list out, for Christmas sakes. Just pick one damn thing, the most important thing for that day, and just do that today, right? And if you do that in the year, you'll have 365 of the most important friggin' things in your life or business that you accomplished. It's a powerful, powerful thing, but it's just about taking positive action and instead of letting guilt and shame build up from not doing anything. And so, all right, I'm going to go and have a third cup of coffee. My wife brought me another one during the interview. Thanks, honey. And so I'm fueled up, but I'm also in touch with the fact that this business is not just a push button, easy solution. Being an entrepreneur is about fighting daily battles, but they're worth it. Why? Because they're your battles. They're not your boss's battles, right? All right, my friends, get on out of here. Have a fantastic day. Be legendary, and we'll see you back here tomorrow for another episode.